Broadcasting from the gulag city of planet Earth, this is Cultural Baggage, the unvarnished truth about the drug war. My name is Dean Becker. Steve Nolan is our engineer, and in just a moment we'll bring in our guest for the evening, Steve Bloom, the editor-in-chief of the brand new magazine, High Times New Grow America, which officially hits the newsstands today. First up, I want to tell you how proud I am of those who are daring to stand up and proclaim the Bush administration, the congressional acquiescence, and the stilted rollover tactics of the media to be just what they are, a sham, a symbiotic, and in my opinion, abominable joining of evil, corrupt, and bigoted forces to subvert democracy in the USA. Mostly the news applies to the invasion of Iraq, but many voices are now daring to stand and proclaim the propaganda about drugs, and in particular in regards to marijuana, to be far removed from fact and foundation, and to be a ploy by the drug lords on both sides of the equation. These voices are proclaiming we have been rode hard and put up wet. We have been screwed, bamboozled, and lied to on a constant basis. Our intellect has been proclaimed to be that of peasants, and that we would gladly accept any lie if surrounded by enough pomp and circumstance. Those who dare to question the status quo, those who are willing to take a good look at the facts, those who stand for real American values can now see the coast is clear, the truth is being accepted. For decades, the truth about drugs was buried under a blanket of lies, distortion, and outright fairy tales. But for almost 30 years, High Times has dared to stand, has dared to proclaim the emperor has no clothes. Our guest for the evening is senior editor for High Times and is editor-in-chief of the new Grow America magazine, which is hitting the stands today. Let's bring in our guest for the evening, Steve Bloom.
How you doing, Dean?
Good evening, sir. How are you today?
I'm terrific.
Yes, sir. I've been looking through your magazine, and I'm really impressed. You guys, I think, are... Going to diversify and educate even more people through this new situation. If you would, tell the folks about your new magazine.
Well, today's the first day of the release of High Times Grow. And we're excited about it. It's the new magazine for cannabis cultivators and connoisseurs. It's very much a pot-centric magazine, as High Times has been over the years. High Times is shifting into more of a general interest political magazine with marijuana as its bottom line focus, but with many other issues on the table. And what we're doing in Grow America is kind of what people have come to expect in High Times over the years, inform people about growing, about marijuana culture, and about the history that exists that goes back for many, many years of people smoking, what people are doing today in terms of new technologies, paraphernalia, cultivation products, nutrients for your plants, lighting, grow room, all kinds of information for the cultivator and the connoisseur.
Yeah, Steve, I've looked through here and I see that you still get to do some writing, still get to do some travel involved with the magazine. This Sweet 16 is a really neat story about the situation in Europe. If you would, tell folks a little bit about that story.
Well, the Sweet 16 was celebrating the 16th annual Cannabis Cup, which is the High Times event in Amsterdam we hold every year, and it's a highly regarded event. Marijuana smokers from all over the world convene in Amsterdam and smoke the best marijuana and hashish and decide which is the best. They also, you know, discuss a variety of other issues. They experience a kind of a freedom that you can't have here, obviously, and so we go back every year, and this year, every year High Times devotes an issue to the Cannabis Cup. And because of the change in High Times this year, we decided for the first issue of Grow America to devote that first issue to the Cannabis Cup. So we slid over the coverage that you'd normally see in High Times and put it in Grow America. And it's 20 to 25 pages on that subject. So I wrote the lead story and I wrote the music piece as well. What's going on over in Amsterdam these days is there's a conservative pressure in the city, in the local governments, the European Union, trying to put pressure on the Dutch to stop their policy of soft drug use and allowing it in coffee shops, and basically their tolerant attitude. And there's been a lot of pressure from the French, the Swedes, the Germans, and other countries to try and curtail that. So the things are a little different right now in Amsterdam than they were a few years ago. There's even a threat right now that they might not even allow tourists to go to the coffee shops. That's not happened yet, but there's a threat of that as part of acquiescing to what the European Union wants the Dutch to do about their drug policy. So things are changing a little bit in Amsterdam. As they told me there, it's not the paradise you think it is, but it's still pretty close.
You know, I had the chance to meet you at a couple of the normal conferences, and, you know, you guys always provide additional infotainment, educational information and music for these events, and I was wondering if you'd just discuss the relationship, you know, over the decades between the High Times and Normal.
Well, each year, you know, the Normal has a conference, and we participate in the conference and are a sponsor and throw kind of like a party that goes along with the event, and try to bring some musical entertainment if there is something we could do year by year. What we've really done with Normal, not so much at the conferences, which, by the way, is happening in April in Washington, and people should go to normal.org if they want more information about that, is we've just done everything we can to support this organization. They were the first organization to start focusing on marijuana legalization. Keith Strop started it in 1970, and all these years later, you know, though some people had hoped marijuana would be legalized by now, it's not. It's a long-term effort, and Normal's been there from the beginning. I call Normal the Greenpeace of the marijuana movement. There are a lot of other organizations out there that do a lot of good work, but Normal's the first, and probably the most significant. So High Times, you know, just has a long-term relationship. We do everything we can to help Normal and the other organizations, all the different activist groups. But we focus on Normal. We give them some advertising space in the magazine. We give them an opportunity to write every month in the magazine a column. And we focus on their events and do anything we can to help them.
Yeah, I noticed, I think it's Chris Kane that's in this particular issue, the first one, from Normal. And, you know, he's one of many great minds, I guess, that do work for Normal and trying to end this jihad, if you will.
Right. Well, Chris Mulligan also, he works at Normal. He's also in this issue. And Alan St. Pierre, who's one of the executive directors there, will be in the following issue. And Keith Strop as well. So we'll keep them all busy.
Now, you know, this trip to Amsterdam, I'm sure that's quite an event. I saw something about kind of making it to the prom, if you will, for members of the High Times staff to get to go there. And what's it like? I mean, these cannabis cups.
Well, you know, Amsterdam in general is just such a free place. Their policies in a lot of areas are much more progressive than American policies when it comes to social issues. It's also a fairly well-off country, so everybody sort of seems to do well there. So you kind of step away from the U.S., the problems that we have here, and go into their world, which is not quite as filled with the problems that we deal with on a regular basis. It's just stepping into the future for a lot of us who hope to see a policy that Amsterdam and the Dutch have, which is a tolerant attitude towards marijuana use, allowing it, not making a big deal out of it. And, you know, there's been lots of proof that by them having this policy, less people actually use it there. It's not such a big deal. It's not something to rebel about. And people do it if they choose and don't if they don't, and, you know, if they don't feel like it. And it's no big deal really anymore in their culture, where it remains a big taboo here in the U.S. culture. So it's an opportunity to step, you know, over into another place and experience it and enjoy it. You know, in a lot of ways, though, what's happening on the west coast of the U.S. With the medical marijuana movement, you kind of feel that way, too, when you go there from New York, where I live, and I go to California or I go to L.A. or San Francisco, and I feel things are a lot more advanced there than they are in New York, because we really haven't changed the laws here like they have out in California and some of the other states where medical marijuana is now available. Even if the federal government doesn't like that, the states have managed to do this, and they're moving ahead. So we're sort of, you know, stuck here on the East Coast without any real change in policy, unfortunately. And, you know, so that's why I sort of like to go and travel a little bit and, you know, get out of, you know, our little home base here and see what's going on around the world.
You know, Steve, I have a reporter on staff, if you will. I call him Mr. K. He's currently residing in the Harris County Jail. And his crime, if you will, originally was, you know, he was caught with an eight ball of cocaine. And they sentenced him to 4 years. He got caught with a millionth of a gram of THC in his system. And he's now, you know, on his way to TDC. It's a terrible situation here in Texas as well.
Oh, you're in Texas?
Yes, sir.
What you're saying about this fellow is that he failed his drug test?
He failed a drug test. They found 1,100 nanograms
right.
in his system, and for that, they want to send him to prison.
Well, I mean, let me straight away say drug testing is an abomination. It's something that never should have happened, and it's just the wrong direction that this country has gone towards a police state. And, you know, unfortunately, it's used against this fellow. You know, the issue that we like to focus on is not cocaine legalization, but nevertheless, you know, it's his choice and he shouldn't be in jail for it.
No, I agree. Now, last year there was an event. Ayatollah Ashcroft and about 100 of his minions set about to do this Operation Pipe Dreams. And in that effort, they busted Tommy Chong for selling glass bongs in the state of, was it Pennsylvania, where the charges were filed?
Yes.
And if you would, talk about that situation with Tommy.
Well, you know, we care about it so much that we put, you know, the big headline on the cover of the new issue of High Times Grow America, right on the top, says Free Tommy Chong. There's a picture of him in the O where the word grow is. So we care about it that much. We really wanted to raise the issue and make sure people know. Amazingly, there are some people out there who haven't heard about this, though there's been a lot of publicity recently, thank goodness, so that the word has gotten out that this man who is, you know, made countless people laugh and, you know, just really charmed, you know, America over the years, you know, with his sort of odd, you know, odd style of, you know, stoner humor with his partner, you know, Cheech Marin, you know, that he is in jail. And what happened was that, you know, he was selling, he had a company called Chong Glass, and they were making really beautiful glass bongs and glass pipes, mostly glass bongs, and they were selling them interstate. And the problem there is there's federal laws, like there are so many federal laws, that does not allow the transportation or the transferring or the selling of paraphernalia interstate. So Tommy Chong's company and many others who were raided that day were charged with interstate sales of paraphernalia. So that's really how they got them, and it was really, you know, as typical of the DEA. They found a couple of places, you know, vulnerable spots, went after them, and then just made their arrests on that day, which was back in February. They arrested 55 people that day. There were two operations. There was Operation Pipe Dreams and one other. There was one out of Iowa. There was one out of Pennsylvania. And there's been a lot of people, you know, dealing with this since then, plea bargaining, making deals, whatever it is to try and stay out of jail. Tommy, as it turns out, is the most high profile of all the people who was arrested, and as it turns out, the only one who's gone to jail. So that's been kind of ironic that of all the people, but it seemed that Tommy decided to meet the problem head on. He copped the plea early on to protect his family, who they seem to want to go after as well as him, and he figured, okay, I'll do the time instead of them trying to bring my family, my wife, and my son into this whole thing. So Tommy is actually really a hero in a lot of ways because he did that, in addition to the fact that he got arrested for doing nothing that we would consider wrong, you know, you and me and a lot of the listeners, I'm sure. But, you know, he went and, you know, kind of saved his family. So he's doing time for them, for all of us, I suppose, for anybody who's ever taken a hit out of a Chong glass bong, or anybody who's seen it, you know, up in smoke.
Right, it's such a tragedy, actually, isn't it?
And by the way it affected High Times is that the companies who advertise in the magazine for their glass products all stopped advertising for obvious reasons that they were now, you know, under attack. And we lost, you know, a chunk of advertising. So when the government does that, they're not doing it just to try and shut down an industry. I mean, really, they can't shut it down, but they try and, you know, they prick a hole in the balloon and try and take some air out of it and put a scare into the people in the industry so that more people won't go into the business. At the same time, one of the effects of when they do that is they go after magazines like High Times and the other magazines that focus on marijuana, some of the Canadian magazines, and they go after our advertising base, and that hurts us to the degree that we lose money and we have to search elsewhere for advertising. And advertising is a very hard thing to get in our magazines to begin with. A lot of advertisers don't want to be in a magazine that focuses on marijuana. So we have a hard enough time, and then we lose 20% of our advertising, so it makes it more difficult for us.
Well, Steve, we're going to take just a 90-second break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the situation with Montel Williams, all right?
Sure.
Okay, right back.
Marijuana may not cause the overdose deaths like heroin, but it's just as dangerous.
For as long as man has been recording history, marijuana has shown itself to be of great benefit in fighting anxiety. It's time to play Name That Drug by its side effects. Anorexia, nausea, insomnia, constipation, or diarrhea and loose stools, agitation, tremors, decreased libido, and failure to ejaculate. Time's up. The answer, Zoloft.
another FDA-approved product.
This is Mark Greer, Executive Director of Drug Sense. You're listening to Cultural Baggage. To end the drug war, visit MAPINC.org. That's MAPINC.org. Get active, stay aware, stay informed, and let's bring an end to this nonsense.
I'm hungry.
George W. Bush and suppression of medical cannabis is killing vastly more people and causing vastly more human suffering than even Saddam Hussein could in his worst days. And this is something that the cannabis movement and the peace movement and progressive people every place have to address. If they aren't addressing medical cannabis, they are ignoring something that has an enormous impact on millions of people. Well, if they're too serious to, they can't talk about mass murder, then they have their priorities all screwed up.
Richard Cowan. CannabisNews.com.
Here's hoping that you can join us next time on Cultural Baggage when our guest will be Al Giordano, the publisher of NarcoNews.com, and we'll hear from Al what's going on in Central and South America. Next week on Cultural Baggage.
Okay, Steve, we're back. I was going to ask you about Montel Williams. He made an astounding statement, did he not, last week?
Well, yeah, and actually, I watched it yesterday. It didn't run in New York until yesterday, and it wasn't a surprise because Montel had been arrested for possession of a pipe recently at an airport, and so that kind of when he was arrested, he told them that he is a medical marijuana patient in California. And that opened the door. I don't know that he'd ever talked about it on his show, but he decided, I think, at that particular moment, incensed by the fact that he was being arrested, that he was going to tell them why he uses marijuana. And Montel has multiple sclerosis. So that is one of the ailments that marijuana is helpful for. It's been proven, anecdotally at least, time and time again with MS patients that it curtails their spasticity and spasms that they get. And what's very interesting with Montel on the show was basically saying that he doesn't really need to smoke during the day, but it's kind of at night when he gets that kind of twitchiness in his legs and, he can't really stabilize and he's shaking a lot during the night. And when he smokes, it curtails that. And he said that he tried everything else. He tried morphine and Vicodin and all the different, opiates that they gave him to deal with these problems and probably, some of the other drugs that I'm not familiar with, other chemical drugs that are used for MS. And he came to the conclusion, like a lot of medical patients who have ailments, when they try everything and suddenly marijuana they use for the first time, maybe they never used it for a medicinal reason or maybe never at all, and they find that it works for them and it's like a miracle. medical patients feel it's a miracle, and a lot of them, for those people who've never smoked marijuana, it's kind of it's just kind of a sin that they've never been told in advance that this would be helpful to them. So it's been kept from them because the government doesn't want people to know that it's, useful, and they're still fighting this. So Montel is doing a great thing by stepping out and telling people we need more people like Montel in the public eye who has the opportunity on a show like his to reach millions of people during the middle of the day, a lot of housewives and a lot of people who are home, probably a lot of infirm people too who are sitting there and sit around and watch TV a lot during the day, and there he is coming out on their side and telling people what how important this has been for him and what a lifesaver it is. So I just think it's great. He's got a book coming out, Climbing Higher. He's got a full chapter in the book on marijuana use, and he's very knowledgeable on the subject. He's not somebody who's just jumped in, apparently. He seems to have studied it. He knows a lot about medical use, all the different uses, the history of marijuana, the plant, its hemp uses. He's very informed. So it's just great. It's terrific that Montel is stepping forward like this. We need more people like him.
Yes, and in regards to the treatment for multiple sclerosis, I think it's been about 2 months ago, the Multiple Sclerosis Society of Great Britain actually came out and endorsed it. The head,
that's true.
And I think they'd used some of the sativix from GW Pharmaceuticals as well as medical cannabis itself, and have shown that it is beneficial and an appropriate medicine.
Well, it's beneficial for many, many different ailments, and it kind of bothers me when I read, we've been reading up on the Democratic candidates, with the big vote tonight today in New Hampshire, following the candidates and seeing where they stand, and almost all of them to a person will say that they somehow or other favor medical use, but they need to be more studies, as if there hasn't been enough studies, as if the government hasn't really admitted that it's useful, but nevertheless they seem to want more studies. If that's what it takes to get it across through the federal government, I mean, the main thing that needs to be done is they need to reschedule marijuana so it's not a number one, like Montel said on his show, not a number one in the scheduling, but a number two or three or four, which would make it available for medicinal use. Now that it's in the number one category with heroin and all kinds of hard drugs that are not supposed to have any medical use and have addictive narcotic potential, marijuana is in that category. The whole idea is to move it out of that category. And I'd like to ask John Howard Dean, whether he would agree to a rescheduling of marijuana. Dean says he doesn't like the idea that people get to vote in referendums to make this change, and he thinks the FDA should make the change. Well, there have been a lot of people, including High Times and Normal, been knocking on the FDA and the DA's door for a lot of years to change the scheduling. Where does Howard Dean stand on that, Dr. Dean?
Yeah, there were reports of late that people involved with NIDA, people that were doing the studies of these drugs, were also getting payments from these drug companies at the same time, stock options, etc. And I think the potential for collusion is great between these companies and the the researchers.
Well, they clearly don't want to see marijuana be legalized. I mean, the thing is, what they're doing in England with GW Pharmaceuticals, and they've kind of formed a partnership with Bayer out of Germany.
Yes.
They're moving in a good direction there with what they're doing, but here there really isn't any pharmaceutical companies that are working on cannabis therapy as far as I can tell, except for the companies that have created the Marinol and the THC formulas, the tablets or whatever that you can take. So there's really some progress happening over in England, but not a lot of progress over here, and so we just have to sort of look for what's going to develop over there and what they're going to bring over here in terms of new chemical breakdowns of marijuana and all the different chemicals in marijuana to see how they're going to be effective for patients here and whether they're going to be made available in the U.S.
Well, Steve, I've been a fan of High Times, I guess, for the whole 30 years almost that you guys have been in existence. And I want to tell the listeners out there that this Grow America is pretty cool. It's got all the same centerfolds and etc. It's got the stories from the growers, the local, the pictures from the farm, if you will, and the indoor grow houses, etc. Beautiful photography. But let's not forget High Times. I see here a good friend of mine, Catherine Austin Fitz, has written for you guys.
Right.
And, she gets down to the economic nitty-gritty about all this. And I think folks should realize that that good writing will still be available through the High Times as well about these more economic issues, I guess.
Well, that's the plan. I mean, the High Times is now celebrating freedom. And in the past, we said that we celebrated the counterculture, and we always will do that. But High Times is trying to get broader in its outlook, and also new century, post 9/11 era of the world we live in. We have to sort of take a little bit of a different look at the world instead of the way we've looked at it before. And the feeling is that Grow America can tackle the subject of marijuana, and that High Times can tackle a broader, palette of issues. There's so much going on out there to focus on and think about that High Times can do that. And so you'll find, certain elements in High Times that will have some traditional aspects such as High Witness News or the Centerfold or THMQ, the Trans High Market Quotes. But, but for the most part, a lot of the traditional elements of High Times is shifting over into Grow America. And we're trying to do this in a way that people really do understand. It was a bit of a shock to people when they saw the January issue of High Times with a change. We didn't really give them too much notice. We announced it in the December issue there would be a change, but not really to what degree. And so people were a little surprised and taken aback. And in the February issue, we announced the Grow America. So now people understand, you know, the direction that we're going, that we're not stripping marijuana out of High Times entirely. We're lessening it in High Times and moving it over into Grow America. And that's our plan. And we feel that it's a time for us to expand and broaden our take on this subject so that, you know, we can cover a lot of bases. And within High Times itself, I guess we could cover a lot of bases before we had Grow America, but there was still a limitation. The magazine is just as big as it is, and people expected certain things. So we decided to shake it up and, you know, throw, you know, a little bit of a curve at the readers and see how they handle it. And response has been mixed. You know, I think people gradually understand more and more as they see it, and also as the magazine develops and its tone and its style and what it really wants to be. It's kind of like a new magazine, even though High Times will always, you know, have, you know, will always have a sort of an association in people's minds for being a certain type of magazine. And it will be that magazine, but it's shifting, it's morphing. So, you know, we're just hoping people will go for the ride with us on this. We feel, you know, nobody knows the marijuana world better than High Times. And in Grow America, we'll focus on that full time. And in High Times, kind of focus on it part time.
Well, real good. Now, I noticed that you did some interviews with Nickelback. You get to run into a lot of celebrities, and it's my hope that maybe you can coerce one or two of them to come on the show and talk to us about the music scene and the marijuana in America.
Well, you shouldn't have a hard time with that. You know, down in Texas, there's a lot of bands, and Austin especially, which I go down to every year for the South by Southwest Music Festival. Matter of fact, they'll be down there in March. Well, at my position as senior editor of High Times, I've been the music editor, entertainment editor, so to speak, over the years. And, you know, it's been my good fortune to be able to meet with and interview a lot of bands, do photographs, and spend some time with bands, you know, backstage and in informal settings, getting to know a lot of members of the bands. They have a special relationship with High Times, and they will now with High Times Grow America. They just feel connected. You know, musicians and artists tend to be freer people and free thinkers, they might, you know, put things into their body that will have an influence on their creativity, and marijuana is one of those elements. And with music, it just goes with the territory. And so bands like Nickelback, we love to feature because they're so marijuana friendly, and Nickelback especially being a band out of Vancouver, which is the big, you know, cannabis capital of Canada these days. It just is a great opportunity for us. As a matter of fact, the photo spread that we have in the magazine with Nickelback is just a tremendous spread of buds that they actually photographed and sent to us. You know, a lot of times people figure, well, we do all the photography, but in this particular case, they called us and said, hey, we got a lot of buds, we want to shoot, and we want to have some photos in High Times, so, you know, how should we shoot it? And we gave them the information, and lo and behold, the photos came in shortly thereafter, and they're kind of mind-blowing. We like to do that with bands. We call it buds and bands. And bands just smoke a lot of pot, especially the ones that do. They like to, you know, share it in High Times. They're not afraid to do that. They're not scared of any kind of repercussions. And they like to go on record, you know, challenging the American policy against marijuana use and sales, distribution, cultivation, and so on. So
Steve,
it's just a great relationship we've had.
We're out of time, my friend. I thank you for joining us on Cultural Baggage. Friends, be careful out there. Because of Prohibition, you don't know what's in that bag. We'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot, Dean.
For the Drug Truth Network, and on behalf of my technical producer, Steve Nolan, this is Dean Becker for Cultural Baggage, the unvarnished truth. This show is produced at the Pacifica Studios of KPFT in Houston.